So we're going to jump right in. We're going through the gifts of the Spirit. Raise your hand if the Holy Spirit has given you a gift.
Any gift.
Just want to make sure every hand was up, because every single person who belongs to the family of God has been given a gift from the Holy Spirit. And it's not for our own glory. It's not for our own to build ourselves up. It's to build up the entire church. So if you have a gift and you're not functioning in that gift, let's do something about that, okay? Because we need you. The church needs you to function the way that God has called you. And last week, remember, if God calls you to something, he also prepares you for it. He gives you the power that you need to walk in that calling and to fulfill all that he has called you to do, right? He does it all. All we have to do is be obedient. We need to make our feet work. We need to make our mouth work and let the Holy Spirit take over and do the rest. Amen? So our memory verse for today is Acts 20, verse 28. And it seems as though as we continue through this this study on the gifts of the Spirit, it seems that more and more people are realizing, oh, I've got a call here. Oh, I didn't realize, but this is where God has empowered me to walk out the call that he has for me. So our memory verse is Acts 20, 28. It says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Is the church of God special? Is the church of God valuable? It says here that he bought you with his own blood. Way more valuable than all the money in the world. We're talking the God of the universe. He bought you with his own blood. And I love the picture that it paints here, right? Because a lot of times we have a tendency to think of, you know, my church. I'm going to my church. You guys are my church. It's not like that at all. This is not my church. This is not your church. This is the church of Jesus. Jesus runs this church through the board of elders, through the shepherds, through the overseers, through the ministry heads, through the deacons. Jesus is the one that runs this church, and he will be faithful in running it. Amen. So are we brothers? We are a family. You're brothers, you're my brother and my sister, I'm your brother. We are a family in his church. He saw so much value in every single person here that he went out for you. It says that he left the 99 to find the one, right? That's our shepherd. That's Jesus, the good shepherd. So we're going to look at the gift of shepherding and pastoring today. And I find it very interesting that we, the church, have a leader that we call pastor, right? I don't like the term pastor. I was talking to Aunt Bethany, and she's like, hey, Dennis. She's like, oh, I should have called you Pastor Dennis. So I was like, you can call me Dennis, because that's who I am, right? I am Dennis. I am functioning, hopefully, as a shepherd and overseer here, but there's nothing that I have special power that you don't have, right? Everyone is called to shepherd and to lead people, right? So that's what we're doing. I love being called Dennis. So that's where I am. And the word that we're going to talk about here, the word is poimen. Fran always used to call Pastor Don poimen, right? Because, you know, he hated being called, you know, he didn't hate it, but he didn't like being called, you know, some people call him Reverend and, you know, all these other things, and Fran was like, you are my shepherd, my poimen and stuff. And it's much more personal and stuff like that. So we're going to look at the gift of shepherding more so today as opposed to pastoring, right? So this is anyone who has been equipped in a God-given way to care for the souls, the bodies, and the hearts of others. Raise your hand if you've been called to care for people. Yeah, exactly. This is for us. So Ephesians 4:11 is where we get this word pastor. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people. Whose do you belong to? Jesus. To equip his people for the works of the service so that the body of Christ may be built up. That's what that fivefold ministry is for. It's for building up the body. Why do we want to build the body up? So the body is healthy and it's functioning the way that Jesus wants it to function, right? Like it didn't just happen like haphazardly. Like God put thought into it. Jesus modeled it. The early church walked through it. And that's why we do things the way we do them today. We want to be a healthy church so we can show others Jesus and we can bring them to a saving knowledge of him. So that Christ may be built up. Verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of the people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Has anybody ever strained a ligament? No bueno, right? Like you're like, shoot, I didn't even know that thing had a function until you heard it. And that's all you think about, right? Like every single person here is here because you're part of the body. Nobody is too small. I don't believe anybody here is replaceable in your part, in your aspect, right? I think that while you're here, you have a part to be doing. And I feel like we, like right now, like this talks about becoming mature and stuff. And I feel like we are mature. And I think that we're mature here because we're going to have people that aren't. And we're going to need to mentor them. We're going to need to shepherd them. We're going to need to pastor them. And I think we're in a good place for that. So the word here is poimen, like I said before. Poimen is the noun. And then poimeno is the verb. So poimen is the one who shepherds. Poimeno is what they do. They shepherd, right? So the word poimen, the noun is used 18 times in the New Testament. And how many of those 18 times is it translated pastor? Out of 18, take a guess. All 18? All the way down to one time. Isn't that crazy? But yet, we call the person that gets up in front, we call them pastor. One time was it translated as pastor. Every other time it's shepherd, right? So I remember when Amy and I were, you know, we were trying to figure things out and everything. You know, I'm like, we go to the Bible. We go to the Bible to see what it says. And I was like, well, that was easy. It didn't say anything about pastor. So shepherding is what it is. Every other time it is translated as shepherd. So we're going to look at what it means to shepherd. The Strong says it is a shepherd. Pastor is how it's translated into Latin. That's where we get that word. The shepherd is translated as pastor in Latin. I don't speak Latin, though. To act as, shepherd is someone who the Lord raises, this is according to the Strong's Concordance, someone who the Lord raises up to care for the total well-being of his flock, right? This is the total well-being. This is not just, you know, making sure you've got enough food. This is not sure making sure that you've got, you know, your lawn mowed. This is the total well-being of the flock. That's why God gives us shepherds. Total well-being for the Lord's people. To act as a shepherd, to care, to rule, to shepherd, to tend to one as though a shepherd tends to the needs of his sheep, right? I remember like when I one time just did like this deep dive into like the Lord is my shepherd and what that means and stuff. And I've come to realize I'm not an animal person. I mean, they're fine, but it's like, I'm just not an animal person. I mean, I'm like a two-legged animal like that walks. I mean, some people call them youth. I mean, that's my kind of animals, you know? You know, but as far as animals, I just don't care for them. Like, I came to a point where I was like, my dog is probably better off with my sister. Because she cares for them the way that Pepper should be cared for, right? So we were like, okay, here, you take care of Pepper. And she is doing great there and stuff like that. But we are called to care for God's people like a shepherd would care for the sheep, right? More so, like Jesus, the good shepherd, shows us and models for us to care for his sheep. So kind of like a shepherd boy who takes care of his father's sheep, right? Like the sheep live with the shepherd. They're out in the field. The shepherd leads them to the green pastures where they can get the good nourishment that they need. They make sure that they're taken care of, like that they get water. And, you know, the shepherd also protects them from the wolves and danger and stuff like that. He makes sure that all of their needs are met so that they flourish, right? Because would it be good if the shepherd boy just kept the sheep alive? Like the owner comes back and he's like, hey, where are my sheep, right? And they're like, he's like, yo, it's alive. If I have a kid that comes with me, we're going to the Ritters today. So I think it was on the 4th of July, we were hanging out at the park and we were playing games, and Clayton, Dwayne and Katie's son, he wanted to come hang out and play games with us. And I was like, okay. Now, it's been a while since I've had younger kids. My kids take care of themselves, right? My kids, we were down in Florida and last year, and Amy and I are sitting in the hot tub and we get a text and it said, hey, we're taking the car. We'll be back, maybe. Amy lost it. She starts crying. She's like, my babies don't need me anymore. I'm like, yes. Right? I remember the first time when I had kids, up until the point that Amy birthed Caleb, I thought I could break kids. Right? And then I came to the conclusion, you can't break your own kids. Now I realize it's really hard to break other people's kids. But July 4th, Clayton hung out with me all day. And at one point I was, turn this off so Katie doesn't hear this. No, I'm just kidding. At one point I was like, Clayton, you've got to stick right with me, buddy. Because my brain's going 100 miles an hour. And I don't necessarily think about you. Like, you're a surprise to me, and I want to make sure you're taken care of, and there's a lot of people, so hang right by me. Whatever I'm doing, just do it, just so I don't have to really think about it. And it was all good, and when Katie came back, I was like, it was like, you know, 9 o'clock. We were getting ready to watch fireworks. I said, Katie, this is your son. Look at him. He's alive. He's all of his appendages are all there. Here, he's good. I have done my job. I'm handing him back to you. He is now back to your responsibility. I was like, I kept him alive. I was very pleased with myself. Amen. But that's not what we're supposed to do. That's not what the shepherd did. Because if the shepherd, if the owner came back and he found his sheep, they're all like straggly looking. They're like, they're alive, but they're not thriving. Do you think that the owner would be happy? No. No. I think of like the parable of the talents, right? You know, Jesus entrusted the money to this one, and he entrusted the money to this one, and he entrusted the money to this one. And he didn't care. He didn't want the money to just be there when he got back. He wanted it to have flourished. That's what we are called to do to those that we shepherd, to those that we take under our arms. And God will change your heart to certain people that he wants you to take under your wing, right? He will change your heart to give you his heart. There was a kid here, and so I was doing children's church, and this person was just really annoying to me. And it's hard to annoy me, I'll be honest with you. And this kid was constantly, he was new to the church, and he started picking on our kids, right? He started picking on the ones that were under my care. And I was like, yo, buddy. But he was 11 years old. You can't beat up an 11-year-old. So I was like, I would just go back to Amy, and I was like, I don't know. He's driving me crazy. And you know, the next week, you know, I was like, good job, Dennis. Another week, I didn't clock the kid, you know? And Amy, at one point, she told me the background of this kid. This is years ago. Not here anymore. Told me the background of this kid. And instantly, God downloaded into my brain, into my heart, a love for this kid. And it was unlike anything that I knew it was not from me. But I loved this kid. His father was in prison, and it was just a bad situation. I mean, he may have been younger than 11, and he was younger than, I don't know, he was around 11. And I remember just after that point, he was my kid. It was as though he was my child, and I loved him. I still love him. And over the years, I mean, he was here forever. And I remember I was talking with the elders at very early into it, and they were like, I don't understand how you got through to him. And I was like, I don't know either, because I was over here one time, and he came up here, and he beelined. It was like 2 weeks after. 2 weeks after God had given me this love for this kid, he beelined it over here. And he just came up and gave me a big hug. This is the kid, like, 2 weeks ago. I wanted to pound him, you know? And I just continued to shepherd him and just form a relationship with him. If I see him in the store today, and he's an adult now. If I see him in the store today, it doesn't matter his friends that he's with, it doesn't matter anything, he will beeline it across the store to hug me. The power of shepherding God's people is super, super valuable. I remember one time he was coming to youth group, and then he wasn't coming to youth group, and he was with his little gang. I call him gang. It wasn't really a gang. But he was with his, like, his peers, his group of guys, and they were getting into trouble, doing things they shouldn't be doing and stuff. And I was at Hess getting gas, and I saw him. But I'm respectful. You know, you're with your people. They're not church people. I knew he loved me, but I was like, and I just waved at him. He left his gang of, I think there were probably 7 or 8 people, and he walked over, ran over across Main Street to come up and give me a hug and just say, hey, I love you, man. I mean, this is the kid that 5 years ago, if it was up to me, I'd have pounded him, you know? You will be a blessing. That's what Don and Jackie used to say to Beth, to Kimmy. Was it Kimmy? You will be a blessing. It says in the Bible, you will be a blessing. No, I'm just kidding. So we have no idea the impact we'll have when God says, downloads into our brains, into our hearts, a love for someone that he wants us to shepherd. And every person here has somebody that God wants you to connect with. I firmly, firmly believe it. My computer's dead. That wasn't part of my message. So, poimeno. Let's just go back. Oh, we're talking about the good shepherd and taking care of and thriving, like the parable of the talents. God wants the shepherd to not just make the sheep alive, but he wants them to thrive, to care for their overall complete well-being. So, and who, it's super important, who is our great shepherd? Who is the good shepherd, right? It's Jesus. So Jesus is the good shepherd. He is our shepherd, but we are then called to shepherd, right? Jesus is our example, and he's the one that ultimately keeps people where they need to be. It's not up to those of us that shepherd here at Community Gospel, right? It's Jesus who will keep you where you need to be. So poimeno, that's the verb. It focuses on tending, which includes guarding, guiding, and folding the flock is only provided ultimately by Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, who calls under shepherds, right? Like, he's the good shepherd. We're like under shepherds or little shepherds. Remember, Amy preached a message a while ago, and it was like big shepherd S, little shepherd, little S shepherd and stuff. I thought that was cool because God tells us what to do. He empowers us to do it, and then he calls us to do it exactly the way that he did it. So we are like his under-shepherds to guard and guide his people in his direction, right? Because that's what we're doing. When we shepherd people, when we help people, we guide them, we are ultimately guiding them not in our ways, but we are guiding them in the ways of Jesus. And we'll see later on, if we have time, the times when people that God entrusted to shepherd, when they didn't shepherd his people the way that he wanted them to be shepherded, right? It didn't go very well for them. Like, God will take care of you. God will take care of us always because he's the one that's ultimately looking out for us. 1 Peter 5:1 says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to the elders, all of you. Clothe yourselves in humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. When we think of a shepherd, we need to think ultimately how much God cares for you. And does he care that you, you know, eat exactly what you want to eat for dinner? No, probably not. But he cares that you have food and that you eat, right? Does he care that you get a good parking spot when you're at the store? Fran says yes. Probably not. He probably just cares that you can have a parking space and go to the store. And she'll argue that one to the... And I think it's great. I think it's great that Fran prays for a good parking spot every time, right? I'm saving my prayers for bigger things than parking spots. So, but God cares about the little things.
Yes.
And the reason it's important that he cares about the little things, because when we see that he cares about the little things, we say, oh, he cared about my parking spot. When I have a cold, I can say, oh, this is not from him. Please heal me. And then when I have cancer, you're like, you gave me a parking spot. You healed me when I had a cold. You said you'll heal me, and I'm going to trust you because I've seen it in the little things. Therefore, I can trust you in the big things, right? That's what we talked about last week, faith. You know, the Bible says it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? Like, every single person who's a Christian says, I just want to please God. How? Probably the biggest question I get is, how can I make sure I'm pleasing God? Well, it's very clear. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if you want to please God, have faith that he will do what he says he will do. And when he does it in the little things, that's how we build up our faith. Amen. So the Christian walk, it is a process also, right? It's not like we get saved and we instantly have all the faith in the world. It's not like we can instantly go out and lead a church. It's a process that we learn from those that are guiding us, and we walk through it. Has anybody here just started the process of their Christian walk? Patty. Oh, Patty. Patty, last week, she gave her life to Jesus. Right? Isn't that cool? That's why Community Gospel is here. And she's already getting her little testimonies and her stories, and she's like, I think the big guy upstairs was watching out for me. And I'm like, yeah, it's so cool to see how it works. And just because you feel like you're not ready to lead a church, it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit hasn't called you to shepherd. It doesn't mean that he hasn't called you to lead somebody, right? The Holy Spirit hasn't given you the spiritual gift of shepherding only for yourself. He has called you. You cannot operate in the spiritual gift of shepherding if you don't have somebody to shepherd, right? So that's what our goal is for. And how many people here feel like they have the gift of pastor shepherd? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there are a lot of people here that have the gift of shepherding. And those that don't feel like you have the gift, it just means you got to work a little harder, because you are called to shepherd others, right? You are called to shepherd others. But it doesn't mean you're going to jump right in. Even if you have that gift, it doesn't mean that you're going to just jump right in and, you know, go out and lead a church, right? It says that you're gonna work through it. You're gonna build yourself up. You're gonna learn how to do it from others that are shepherding you. But you can start exactly where you are today, right? You can start in your home. You can start with your neighbors. You can start with your coworkers. Like when you're working and people are like, man, I don't know what it is. There just seems to be something different about you. Always be ready to give them the answer. Why you have the hope that you have. That is you shepherding in your own way, right? You could start, there are ministries right here where you can start exercising your gift of shepherding, right? I have, you know, Adrielle. She shepherds. We have people here that help in children's church, right? We have people that help in youth group. Terry, Justin, you know, they help in youth group. We have children's ministry. You know, we've got all these ministries here. And there are probably ministries that we should have here at Community Gospel that we don't have. And when people come up and they say, hey, I think we need such and such. My response is always, that's great. I am glad the Lord is leading you to start that ministry. How do you need help? I'll help you. I will help you. I'll facilitate it. I'll jump right in there. I'll get dirty with you. But I think maybe God is calling you to take the reins and start that ministry, right? So there are things that you might see a need. Come to me. Let's chat. We'll figure it out, right? I mean, we have people here that have the gift of pastoring, of shepherding. I think of Olivia, who does, you know, basic with me every week. She has taken ownership of that. She leads it. She prepares for it. She does such a good job. And the other day she was like, hey, I think God might be calling me to ministry. To which I responded, duh. You think? Maybe. So, but even in basic, you know, I was like, hey, how cool would it be to have, you know, people to where we could have live music? So, you know, Jeremy, you know, just look at we have servants here all over the place. Jeremy and Ethan and Jack Wood. I mean, they just stepped up to it. And it's cool. But we have to walk in our gifts. So if you see something, we will definitely chat. Whatever gift you have, I want you to figure it out and figure out how you can walk in that gift, right? Because you might have the gift of shepherding, but you might not. You might have a gift that walks right alongside the gift of shepherding, right? The gift of teaching and shepherding go hand in hand. I think it's hard to have, you might have the gift, I think that every person who has the gift to shepherd has the gift of teaching, but just because you have the gift of teaching doesn't necessarily mean that you have the gift of shepherding, right? I was talking with Pastor Rodney, and he said that about Amy and me, he said that you, he says, I look at you as an evangelist pastor and Amy as a teaching pastor. And I was like, that about sums up us, right? Right there. So whatever gift God has for you, use it. And you are using it to build up the body, right? That is why we're using it. I want you to function in that gift because we need that gift, right? And sometimes we don't know that we have a gift until we see a need for something, and then we realize, oh, I have that gift. Because a lot of times we will recognize a need that we are gifted in, and making sure that it's met, right? A lot of times when we see a need, that's God saying, hey, you might be the one to do that. The Baileys are not here, so we can talk about them. So when I when I think of the a picture of the body functioning the way that it should, I think the Baileys are a perfect example of that. Of how they came to Christ. So many people in the church were involved with how it happened, that it was just super, super special to see it and to be a part of it and stuff like that. As it was happening, like, we could see it happening. They had no idea what was happening. If you ask Justin, hey, when did you come to Christ? He's like, I don't exactly know. It just kind of happened. And I was like, that's so cool. I mean, it's cool to, I mean, obviously there was a definite time, but it happened over a course of a span of time where he was like, I don't really exactly know and stuff. So they were having a workout group, and Heather was invited by somebody, and they came. And I believe Heather worked with Katie Ritter at the time. I think is how it happened. And Heather would come, and Heather and Justin would talk to Katie and be like, I don't know, these guys are whacked. That's how it started, right? And Justin was like, listen, I don't really think I want my wife hanging around with these, he would call them holy roller Bible thumpers. Holy roller Bible thumpers. And Katie, because she has a part, right? Because she found her gift from the Holy Spirit, and she used her gift in the way to bring Justin and Heather to Christ. So she said, Justin, trust me. They're I know them. They're okay. They're good people. They're gonna love you. It's okay. Just bear with it and stuff. So they continued to go to workout group, and then they formed a friendship. And then we started, you know, running together. And then, you know, when you train for, like, they were, like, training for, like, things, like, you run a lot. And I remember times where I would just go for a run with Justin, not because I cared to run, but I cared to shepherd, right? I was intentional in reaching out and just taking him and just answering questions, because he'd have questions. And Ryan and Kimmy, just times where they would go and just spend hours in the car and, you know, just talk about Jesus, talk about things, because they have questions, right? And eventually, you know, we had a church service over next door, and, you know, they came to Jesus. And then they start realizing that Jesus isn't here to just save us. He is. With his own blood, he saw value in us, so he shed his blood for us. But then he realized, wow, God wants to actually have a relationship, a personal relationship with me. And then Justin is like, hey, can I help out? And, you know, and then I remember the times when Justin came, he's like, listen, I think God wants to use me in a certain place. And I was like, I think you are right. And it was that these little steps upon steps that we could see what was happening, and they didn't know. And then Justin comes up and he's like, hey, God did use me. Like, the God of the universe used little old me to meet a need here and stuff. And now, you know, Heather's serving, Justin is serving. Now Justin is shepherding, right? He's shepherding people, guiding them, showing them the way to go. I mean, Justin is always at youth group. You know, the kids, all of their kids serve leading worship. I mean, it's just the it's just so cool how the church, and there were probably, I don't know, if I, there were probably 20 people, I would say, that were involved in reaching out to them, shepherding them, guiding them, bringing them to the place where they are today. But ultimately, it was all done by Jesus. He's the one that does it. So it's just a good picture of the body of Christ functioning the way that they're called to function so that, you know, we do what we're supposed to do in shepherding. So, and they were just shepherded right into the kingdom of God, and now they're shepherding others. I just want to read Psalm 23 because this is a beautiful picture of how we should shepherd others, right? Because what does not work when you're trying to shepherd people is to bash them over the head like Justin thought, right? Holy roller Bible thumpers, right? Thumping your Bible, it's the truth, but people don't hear the truth when it's being smacked over their head, right? They instantly go on like defense, right? If you're using the Bible as a weapon, probably not being very effective in your shepherding. Let's kind of tweak and hone your Bible thumping skills. So we're going to look at the way that we are to lead, are to shepherd, and it's gently, it's humbly, it's guiding them in the truth of the word, but it's guiding them, right? Nobody just went out and thumped Justin over the head because it would not have worked, because that's what he thought Christians did, is just beat the Bible over people's heads. So we're gonna lead like the good shepherd leads us. So Psalm 23, starting in verse 1, says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, because he is always with me." This is the darkest valley. It's just, the King James says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Even though we walk through the valley of the shadows of death, we have nothing to fear, because we're not there alone. If God has led us to the valley of the shadow of death, he's going to lead you out. And I think you might be there for a reason. So while you're there, say, look around and be like, "Yo, I'm glad you're here. Why are we here? What am I supposed to do while I am here?" Verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy." Now, when we are in the midst, when we are in the middle of an attack, when we are in stressful situations, when we're in the presence of our enemy, is that the time when most people just say, "Hey, what are we eating for dinner?" Right? No. You can only be in that position if you have faith that God is there with you, that he's for you, and then it doesn't matter where you are, you have that peace. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Because he is the great shepherd, and he is faithful, right? Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you," raise your hand if he began a good work in you, it says he will fulfill it. That is a promise. If you are here, it is only because the faith that you were given from the Holy Spirit to believe in Jesus, that's the beginning of the good work, And he will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. John 10:1 says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other ways, he is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice." Jesus is the gatekeeper here. He's the one that opens the gate. He allows who comes and goes. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and then he leads them out. A few years ago, I did a teaching on Jesus being our good shepherd. And there was this whole pen of sheep and everything. And there was in the video, like a bunch of people just started calling out to the sheep. And they're like kind of looking at him like, sheep, dude, sheep are dumb, y'all. Sheep are dumb. And we're compared to sheep. But the sheep are looking out and they're like, hey, what's this wacko doing? And then the shepherd comes. And the shepherd does his little bugle call or whatever. And the sheep are like, hey, Billy, that's you. And they take off running for the shepherd, right? It's just a cool picture of the sheep know the shepherd's voice. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them. This is verse 4. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him. Stranger danger, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Jesus said that, verily I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He's saying there are those that have come before me. There are those that will come after me. I am the only way to the Father. It's through me, the gate. They will come in, and they will go out, and they find pasture. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. There will be times when God has called you to lay aside your own desires, to lay aside the things that you have planned because you're guiding someone that needs you to do something else. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf come, he's like, peace out. I'm out of here. I did not sign up for this. The wolf attacks the flock and he scatters it. The man runs away because he was a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not in this sheep pen. I must bring them also. Jesus is saying, there are a lot of other people that are out there. They're not in the pen right now. There are people in Oneonta that Jesus is saying, they're my sheep. But they're not in the sheep pen right now. Will you go out there and bring them to me? You know, the parable, you know, if the Bible says that Jesus will leave the 99 and go after one person. And that's how he does it every single time. And sometimes we get to be used. We get to be the one that with Jesus we go after. The one. And we say, hey, I know a guy. He's done great things for me. I know he can and will do great things for you. And we take him under our wing. We guide him. We bring him to church. I was at Panera last night. And this girl was like, hey, what church do you go to? And I told her. And she was like, I'd like to pray at home by myself. And I'm like, me too. She's like, well, I get anxiety when I pray in front of people. And I was like, don't pray in front of people. And she was like, well, and I was like, come to church. She was like, well, won't I have to? And I was like, no. I said, you can hide in the back. I don't care. Just come to church. You know, this should be a safe place for people, guys. Like, this is the place where people should come to find healing, right? Just get them here so we can love on them, right? Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. My sheep know me. Just as the other sheep are not in the sheep pen, I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my fathers. The Jews heard and they were divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed. You ever just read the Bible and you're like, how could they think that? But they thought that Jesus was demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? like Jesus had walked, he had showed them, he was shepherding them, and the ones that knew it, the ones that knew his voice, they were like, are you kidding me? How can a demon-possessed man open the eyes of the blind? This is not a demon-possessed man, this is the Son of God. The ones that, he wasn't their shepherd, they're like, this man's a lunatic, right? So, there are certain times when we see Jesus really protect his church, right? We see it throughout the Old Testament where the church would be led astray a lot of times by bad shepherds, right? And there are times where if you look at the overall picture of the church, it seems to go like this throughout the Old Testament, and you're like, they're on a high, they're like, yes, Jesus, not Jesus, but God, and then they're like, okay, oh, golden calf, and then they're like, you're like, what the heck, right? And the leader is the one that is kind of leading them throughout these places, but God is the ultimate one that protects his church, right? I just want to touch, Jeremiah 23, verse 1 says, woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and you have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done. God values people so much that he will protect you always. And it is better, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It is better to let God protect you than to try to protect yourself. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and will bring them back to their pasture. So this is God talking about the nation of Israel. And it's now this is long. I mean, the nation of Israel is like scattered at this point. They're all over the place. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and will bring them back to the pasture where they will be fruitful and increase in number. And you've got to think, if you're an Israelite at this time, you're like, yo, are you like crazy? Because we are like literally, we have no home. We are scattered. We're running. We're being attacked. It's like we don't even know where we're going. What are you talking about? You're going to bring us back to a land where they will be fruitful and increase in numbers. I will place shepherds over them who will tend to them. Who places the shepherds? God is the one that places the shepherds. If you are brought to a place where you feel like you should shepherd somebody, that is a call from the Almighty God. And if God calls you to do it, he will empower you and lead you and give you everything you need to lead it, because you are being called by God. I will place shepherds over them who will tend, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. So then the days are coming, declares the Lord, when people will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt, but they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the descendants of Israel up and out of the land of the north and out of the countries where he had banished them, then they will live in their own land. Did that happen? Does Israel have their own land today? Yeah. You know why? Because God's promises are always true. They always come to fruition. If God says it and it hasn't happened yet, get ready. If he says he's going to do something and you don't see it, keep your eyes open. Just like we talked about last week with faith. Faith is activating. It's not just hoping that God's going to do it. If he says he's going to do it, he will do it. Amen? I just want Pastor Rodney to come up and just share some times when he has shepherded, you know, some people. Because he's been here a long time, shepherding people. So...